highly recommend going back and listening to our ownership podcast from last week, where John Krasinski got into the weeds on what exactly is going on between Glenn Taylor, Mark Lurie, and Alex Rodriguez. Today, we will touch on ownership, but we'll get back to basketball as well here on the John Krasinski Show. As you know, this is part of TalkNorth.com, and the best way to listen is to subscribe to your favorite podcast app. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio with Brandon Morton running the show. And we want to thank our many sponsors, including Defined Destinations. John will tell you about his trip to Spain later on. TSR Injury Law, our longest running sponsor, 612 TSR Time. Head Flyer Brewing, where we hold so many of our live shows. And Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing Line. Promo code JONK20 for 20% off their really cool stuff. So, John, let's just dive into the ownership briefly. Anything new since we talked last Friday? We're talking here on Tuesday morning as the Wolves head into a busy week.
Yeah, not anything super new. What we saw last week was explosive, to see both ownership groups essentially trade public barbs. I mean, even when there are disagreements, even when there are disputes that arise at the ownership level, rarely do you see it become as public as it did with the Timberwolves last week. Certainly Friday, Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie went on a media tour, including with The Athletic, about just all of their issues that they have with Glenn Taylor's moves. And really what we are seeing right now is sort of the first days of a months-long likely fight for control of this team. And you're seeing Glenn Taylor really kind of use his messaging to look at the letter of the law, the contracts, things of that nature. Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie appealing, I think, a little bit more to the emotion of the situation, which seems to be resonating a little bit more right now. But I think all of the armies on both sides are assembling right now, and we will see, you know, how this progresses. I think both sides would like to keep it a little less public going forward, but there's clear animosity with both sides of this. And so I'm not, you know, going to be surprised at anything that happens here going forward.
I wrote about it for the Tuesday Star Tribune, and I just spent much of Sunday night's game observing. Obviously, we did not see Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie in the arena. Someone told me that they expect those guys to still go to some road games, but Glenn's probably going to be alone at the home games for a while, maybe to avoid awkwardness. I don't know. I also just found it really interesting to watch Glenn in the hour before the tip-off. I just have so many people, you know, from Jim Peterson to Finch to players to longtime fans to people who sit in the front row or second row down there by courtside, just come up to him and just hug him and Becky. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the game, I saw him walk out and he's, you know, chatting it up with Tim Connelly and they're all laughing and joking. None of that necessarily means anything, but I thought it was it added to me flavor. It looked like Glenn is saying, hey, this is my team. I'm going to enjoy this and I'll fight whatever fight I have to fight.
Yeah, I do think that I was mildly surprised that Glenn and Becky showed up on Sunday. I thought that maybe they would take a game off to sort of let things cool down a little bit and just maybe let the emotions sort of just settle in before coming back. But I really do think it speaks to their belief in their position. They don't think they are doing anything wrong. Glenn does not think he is doing anything wrong here. He believes that Mark and Alex simply did not fulfill their obligations as part of the contract. And so he is taking this team back, essentially, and just going to keep running it the way that he always has. And so in some ways, he looks at it as, this is what I always do. So I'm going to keep coming to these games. You know, obviously, Alex and Mark believe that they have been very wronged here. They're very upset by it. And they are doing every means at their disposal to try and combat this. But Glenn, I think, sees it less personally. I think Mark and Alex really take this personally. They really feel like they've been betrayed. Whereas Glenn looks at it as simply, hey, I'm just reading the letters of the contract. The I's are not crossed. Are not dotted, the T's are not crossed, and so we're going forward as is. And so the level of emotions on each side is starkly different, and that's, I think, why Glenn and Becky are just going to keep coming to these games, and especially the home games, and doing what they've always done.
Well said. It just confirms that I made the right decision early in life to never become a billionaire and have to deal with all this stuff.
That was a very good decision on your part. I know you could have done it.
Shrewd.
But
yes. I call it shrewd.
More money, more problems, I think is what they say.
That's exactly. I got t-shirts that say that, no doubt. All right, let's get to basketball. Let's get to the fun stuff, or what Timberwolves might find as the tormenting stuff. Fascinating weekend. The Wolves go dominate Denver in Denver, come home and lose to a mediocre Bulls team. Although the Bulls are like they're so emblematic of this year's NBA and maybe the modern NBA. I mean, they have a losing record, and yet you don't want to play that team. I mean, and somebody came up with the note, I don't know if it was you or Dane or somebody came up with a great stat that the Bulls are one of the best teams in the NBA when it comes to winning close games. They're chippy. They have shot makers. They have talent. They handle the ball well. So, on the surface, it looks like a terrible loss, but I don't know if it actually is.
I would say this. It's a bad loss in terms of you just don't want to lose at home when you're so tight down the stretch. Yep. And every game counts. Coming off of that great Denver game, you're like, holy cow, these guys are really ready to just storm into the playoffs. And then they stub their toe here. But to your point, Jim, the Bulls play a ton of close games. Like they live the entire season in clutch time. So they don't have a great record, but they're just used to being in those situations. And so they're comfortable there. But also B, part of it was they just hit every shot they took early on.
Yep.
And there are going to be those nights in the league where, maybe your team is a little slow footed or just a little stuck in the mud, and the other team just makes you pay every single time. And I think that's what happened. I mean, Alex Caruso is a very good 3-point shooter, but he's 6-for-6 to start. Vucevic, who is very streaky as a shooter, was knocking everything down. DeMar DeRozan was even hitting threes, and he doesn't normally do that. So it just, they caught the Bulls on the wrong night, and they paid for it. And, if this exact game happens in January, you're really not thinking at all about it. It happens in late March, early April. Now you're grinding your teeth about it a little bit more, especially when they did come all the way back and led in the fourth quarter. But I just think it was one of those make or miss nights, and Anthony Edwards was 0-for-5 from three, and the Bulls were just shooting the lights out from three. And so they were able to get that win.
Yeah. When Caruso starts off 6-for-6 from three, it might not be your night. One more note about that game before we move on to other topics. What did you think of Gobert, feeling like he got cheap shotted there? I think it was the end of the first half, maybe by Caruso.
Yeah, I saw the play, and I see why Rudy Gobert was upset. I think Caruso had just earlier in that possession had just gotten leveled by a screen, and I think he was probably a little ticked off. And so at the very end of the half, right before the buzzer sounds, a shot goes up, and Caruso really kind of tries to box Rudy out, but goes low, right sort of at his knees. Now, part of that is Rudy is so tall, Caruso's on the shorter side. And so that's just the physics of the interaction are going to happen. But I thought that Alex Caruso was a little bit too overzealous in the way that he kind of threw his hips into Rudy's knee area. And so Rudy was very upset with it. I asked him about it after the game, and he continued to be upset with it, saying, if the NBA isn't going to hold people accountable, I will hold them accountable, which is kind of an ominous thing. They're not going to see the Bulls the rest of the year. But you could tell that he was very upset with it. I didn't think it was like the dirtiest play I've ever seen, but I did understand why Rudy was very upset.
So Malik Monk goes down. It looks like the Wolves have a real chance of having the Defensive Player of the Year, maybe the Sixth Man of the Year if Nasri can continue to play the way he's playing, even though he's starting right now. Do they have a chance at those two, and do they have a chance at Coach of the Year?
I think they do have a chance I think Rudy is the odds-on favorite. I know that Victor Wembanyama is getting a late surge here, and he's been incredible defensively. I just don't think that at the end of the day, a team that is, what are they? They're 18-57. They're in last place. Like, I don't think you can have the defensive player of the year on the last place team. That just seems to be a stretch. So I do think Rudy Gobert is going to win defensive player of the year. I do think that this Malik Monk injury opens the door a little bit more for Nas. Now, we are far enough along in the season that certainly Malik Monk's credentials have been built up, and he would absolutely deserve consideration. But if Naz Reid really plays well down the stretch here, ironically in a starting role, but if he just really has some more big games that get people's attention, I do think he can sneak in front of Malik Monk and get that that award. I also think that even prior to the injury, I believe that Naz Reid really deserves strong consideration. If I had a vote, I might vote for him, and not just because I cover this team, but when you look at what Naz Reid has done, not only offensively, but defensively, playing at the four, playing alongside Rudy Gobert, playing alongside Karl-Anthony Towns, I think that that brings a different element to the equation than Malik Monk does with just his pure offense. He's been sensational offensively. He's had some amazing, enormous games, including against the Timberwolves, and has been incredibly effective. But if you look at the well-rounded game, Naz Reid absolutely, I think, could usurp Malik Monk with just bringing a little bit more to the table that way. So I think that's the argument for Naz Reid, and it's a good one. Finally, Coach of the Year. Yeah, I mean, if the Wolves finish strong and if they get the number one seed, I think it should be Chris Finch's award. I mean, when you look at where this team was last year, what they've had to endure this year with Karl-Anthony Towns' injury, just kind of getting everyone on the same page. And if they're still able to win the Western Conference, which as we record this on Tuesday, they are one game behind the Thunder. So they're very much in the mix with eight games to go. I absolutely think that he should win it. But I also can see Mark Daigneault from the Thunder really getting it. And he's very well deserving as well. They are in first place right now, the Thunder. And so I think it's really probably comes down to those two. Maybe Jamal Mosley with Orlando. I think JB Bickerstaff's done a fantastic job with the Cavaliers. But ultimately, I think it's going to come down to Daigneault and Finch. And depending on where these two teams finish at the end of the season might be the tiebreaker.
I know that Timberwolves fans like to talk about Anthony Edwards in terms of being a possible MVP. I think that's down the road for him. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I don't even know that he's necessarily the most valuable player on this team. You can make an argument for Rudy. Who do you think the most valuable player in the NBA is right now?
Yeah, I think you're right, Jim. Tim Bontemps from the ESPN does a straw poll kind of throughout the year and asks a bunch of writers about who their MVP list is from 1 through 5. And recently just asked me again. And I had Jokic number one, Giannis number two, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander number three, Luka Doncic number four, and Anthony Edwards I did put at number five. You're right, though, Jim. I mean, it could be Rudy on this team. You could very much make an argument for that. But I just kind of look at what Ant has done from a playmaking standpoint, especially since Karl-Anthony Towns has gone out, from a limiting his turnover standpoint, a lot of those things going on. He's been sensational. And so I just wanted to get, I thought a Timberwolf deserved mention with that list. But I think Jokic is still the best player in this league. He puts up just insane statistical box scores every single night, aside from against the Timberwolves, it seems like. And he has the Nuggets right where they need to be. And so I just gave a slight nod to him over Giannis, SGA, and Luka. I think the top four are pretty established. And then five, you could do Ant. You could do Jason Tatum. You could do a couple of different guys. But those four are pretty solidified in the top four.
What's interesting about Ant, now listen, they had won four straight before the loss against the Bulls, and Ant did not have one of his better games against the Bulls. He has been overall very effective, but he has not been shooting it particularly well lately. Is that significant to you at all?
Well, he did say to us after the game that he was a little tired. You know, he did. I think that, you know, he said every one of his shots, every one of his threes was short. And so he's got to, you know, kind of figure out how to work through that. I think, Jim, that this is just kind of a little funk that he's in. He's 0 for his last 13 in the last two games from three. And it just doesn't seem like his shot is feeling good right now. I don't look at it as any sort of long-term issue. It just seems like he's in one of those little funks. And maybe it's, as we're recording this on Tuesday, maybe it's tonight against Houston. Maybe it's tomorrow against Toronto. Maybe, you know, he lights it up and really breaks out of it. I do wonder, they have a back-to-back here, Houston, Toronto, home. I wonder if they beat Houston, does Chris Finch think at all about giving him a break against Toronto, a tanking team, on Wednesday night? That is a dangerous proposition. I know it's not something that the Timberwolves usually want to do, especially given how every win is really important right now. But maybe getting him a day off and just relax, re-energizing a little bit and getting some more energy in those legs could be beneficial for the long haul if, let's say, he has another really difficult night tonight and just doesn't shoot it well and looks to be kind of sluggish that way. So I don't expect that to happen, but it's something that maybe they do think about, just given Ant saying that he's a little tired right now and maybe he could use a little bit of a breather.
Good stuff. Let's talk about Cat, the guard play with Morris and McLaughlin, the West, the draft, I even want to mention. But first, let's thank, we'll let you know, we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services studio. And John, tell us about the Defined Destinations trip.
DefineDestinations.com. Go there and look up the trip, A Taste of Spain, and it is going to be a remarkable trip. I cannot wait for that to get here. August 22nd through the 29th, we are going to Madrid and Barcelona, two of the most exotic cities in the world, an area of the world I've never been. And the things that are set up through Defined Destinations are just fantastic. You're going to talk about four-star hotels in the hearts of both cities, right next to some of the best sites to see, unbelievable museums. We're going to have wine, sangria, and food tours. We're going to have some meals together where we get to, you know, kind of revel in being in Spain, talk a little Minnesota sports, and enjoy ourselves. We're also going to have time to kind of venture out on our own as well, you know, kind of just see the sites, do everything that you want to do, into just amazing, amazing cities. And maybe we'll just even knock on Ricky Rubio's door. We'll see what happens in Barcelona. But I can't wait for it. I think that, you know, what the great thing about Defined Destinations is they give you a guide to kind of figure out exactly where to go, so you're not feeling overwhelmed by international travel. Sometimes I do. Like, it's a very kind of intimidating thing for me personally, but having Defined Destinations to help us, guide us through this, will be make the experience so much easier, so much less pressure for me. And that means we're going to all have a good time. We'll have a meal at the start of the trip. We'll have a meal at the end of the trip, and we'll be able to meet up and go on different events throughout the trip. And so go to defineddestinations.com for A Taste of Spain with John Krasinski and join us on what's going to be an absolutely fabulous trip.
You know the deal. TSR Injury Law has become a great business success by helping people. 612-TSR-TIME. If you're injured, just call 612-TSR-TIME. You will deal with someone who will help you. They will not charge you unless they win your case, and they win a lot of cases. That's why they are a success story. You see the billboards. You see Steve Terry up there with Naz Reid. He's become a big part of the Timberwolves culture because people trust him. People like him. If you see him at the arena, definitely say hello. 612-TSR-TIME. That's all you need to know. 612-TSR-TIME. Tell us about Head Flyer Brewing, John.
Head Flyer Brewing, Northeast Minneapolis. We've been telling you about it for years now. A great partnership with a great brewery. They have unbelievable beers. Any kind of version of a beer that you could want, walk into their just fantastic tap room. watch a Wolves game, watch a Wild game, watch the March Madness on their many flat screen TVs. Just enjoy a night at Head Fire Brewing. And when you go, I would recommend the Crunch Time Citrus Wheat Ale. It's a Blue Moon style beer that is a collaboration for myself and Talk North with Head Fire Brewing. This is the second run of it. We had it last spring and summer as well. And you can get it in the tap room. You can also get it at local liquor stores throughout the metro area, including Every Total Wine, including Certix, including Princeton's Liquors in Maple Grove, all over the place. If you go to Head Fire Brew Instagram, you can kind of see a list of all of the stores that you can get it at. But you can grab four packs of Crunch Time, the John Krasinski collab, and it's very refreshing. I know it's snowing right out today as we record this, but eventually the sun is going to come out. It's going to be patio season. It's going to be Crunch Time season with Head Fire Brewing.
Also, want to let you know about Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops clothing line. The promo code is JONK20.
SGLambChops.com for some of the most comfortable, most stylish, active and casual wear that you could want. Jordan Dye and Craig McCall and the group at Lamb Chops sit courtside during the games. You've seen them there. But also they have a new collab with the Timberwolves that is going to be at Target Center this week. So if you are going to the game against the Houston Rockets on Tuesday night, you might be able to catch some of their really cool Timberwolves hoodies, Timberwolves Letterman's jackets, Timberwolves hats that sold out in like the blink of an eye the last time they were at Target Center earlier this season. And they have super cool stuff. They're the most comfortable shorts I've ever worn, and are the Lamb Chop shorts. And I love their hoodies. I love their t-shirts. It is really high quality stuff that you're going to want, and that makes you look really good as well. And so SGLambChops.com, JONK20 for 20% off anything online there. And also at the end of this program, we will answer a Twitter question, and the winner who is picked, their question is picked, will get a free pair of Lamb Chop shorts. So stick around for that and see if you're the lucky winner. But go to SGLambChops.com, JONK20, for 20% off anything you want there.
The Wolves have survived without Karl-Anthony Towns. What are they missing with him out right now?
Yeah, I think Chicago, you know, was a great sort of example of what they were missing in that moment. They have been, Jim, incredibly efficient and prolific from three-point range since he went out. And that has been a big surprise, I think, for most of us who were looking at what was going to be the effect of losing Karl-Anthony Towns. And you figured you're going to lose, you know, eight threes a game. And how's that going to affect the spacing? What has happened is they have really leaned into ball movement. They've really leaned into a more democratic shot selection approach with all of their players. And they are generating good looks, and they're usually making them. Now, against Chicago, they couldn't make anything. And so those are the kinds of games when Ant isn't hitting, when Naz Reid is struggling, they need another offensive option to come through for them. And that would have been a perfect night for Cat to come in, you know, get his 18 or 19 shots, make 11 of them, and really give them the last bit of offense that they needed to close that game out. You know, I just think that at certain points, and certainly when they get to the playoffs, there are going to be times when you get into a rut, when you need just a bucket. Ant is good at giving you that, but I think Cat can really do that as well to stem the tide when you just can't seem to find a bucket or get a stop on the other end. Karl-Anthony Towns can do that. And so that is the biggest element that they miss. From by all accounts, it seems like the rehab is going pretty well for Karl-Anthony Towns. We haven't gotten an official update just yet, but I think that is coming fairly soon. And so I think that there's optimism that he's going to be ready sometime, you know, early in the playoffs, or maybe even a little bit before that, to get out on the court and get his legs back underneath him. And that would be huge for them, because as much as, you know, as well as they have played lately, they need him in the playoffs to be as dangerous as possible. And And so getting him back sooner than later would be a great sign.
No doubt. And I also thought it was very nice of you to loan him your Ricky Rubio jersey to wear on the bench on Sunday night.
Yeah, it fit him just perfectly too. What was the amazing. That was the crazy thing. But the funny thing
one
is
one size fits all.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The funny thing is I took a picture of Kat in the Rubio jersey and I sent it to Ricky. And I said, "Hey man, your legend lives on." And Ricky sent back and said, "Tell him I can get him a real one if he wants it." And so this was just a thrift shop find for Carl was what he told me after the game. So I thought that was pretty funny.
That's great. Interesting what's happened with guard play. Monty Morris has played well and Finch has raved about his physical defense. McLaughlin has been on a shooting tear. Is this just these guys having their moment in a long season, or do you see these guys being real important players down the stretch and in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that at least one of them is going to be important in the playoffs. You need more guard play. And what you have seen in the absence of Kat, and you take his 32, 34 minutes out of the equation, Chris Finch has sometimes really reverted to playing McLaughlin and Conley together, or Monty and McLaughlin together, or you throw Nickeil Alexander-Walker in there as well, and you have like three lead ball handlers on the court at the same time. And I think that has been a huge part of their success in reducing turnovers over the last 10, 12 games of the season here. They've been really good outside. You know, they were a little sloppy against Chicago, but they've been largely very good at not giving the ball away. And part of the reason is that Finch is deploying these two and a half point guard lineups a lot, and that has helped. And so still with Monte Morris, we haven't seen him, you know, have a really good scoring game yet. He's been in double figures, I think, just once since he joined the team. His shot has been, you know, kind of in and out a little bit. He's not being super aggressive and looking for his shot, but he certainly is not turning the ball over. He's making plays, making the right reads. And as you said, Jim, he's been great defensively. He's really bought into the Wolves concept of team defense. And that has been a big bonus for the Wolves. And you also haven't needed him to score a whole lot because J-Mac is hitting every shot that he takes, which is, you know, I obviously he's kind of on a heater right now. I mean, you think he's shooting 50% from three right now, which is not going to sustain over the long haul. But with the way that the ball is moving and he is finding just really good, clean, open looks, it's conceivable that he's stays in the 40s percent from three, which is really good, and which has also been one of the biggest concerns about his game when you look at the totality of it. So now, with him knocking down those shots with Monte Morris playing defense, they complement each other really, really well. Now, when you get to the playoffs, the rotation shrinks. So if Towns comes back, I think it's less likely that those two are going to get 15 minutes a game. But I do think that what it does is it gives Chris Finch options for how a game is going. Do I need Monte Morris's defense right now? Do I need Jordan McLaughlin's shooting right now? And playmaking and kind of, you know, quarterbacking. So that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how he deploys those guys in the playoffs. But the way that they are both playing is a very good thing to help reduce a little bit of the burden on Mike Conley.
The Gobert trade obviously looks very good this year, and I think it might look even better when we get to draft time. If you read draft analysts, they're saying this might be one of the worst drafts in NBA history. This is a really good year to not have your first round draft pick.
Yeah, but I think they do have their first round pick this year, Jim.
Oh, do they?
So yes. So they did not have it last year, and so it goes every other year for the next.
Okay. Whatever, I got confused on that.
Yep. But either way, I think what you're saying still holds water, because if they finish, you know, in the top two in the Western Conference, and as it looks like what we are seeing with this team, are the seeds of a team that can be quite good for a while. Can they be top, you know, three in the West for the next 4 years? I don't know about that. Maybe they can be. But the bet or the gamble was always that any picks that you do give up are generally going to be in the back half of the first round. And while they're still desirable assets to have, it's not like you would be giving up a lottery pick like they did in the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade. So when you see the way that this team has come together, when you see how important Rudy Gobert has been for this team, and like you said, I think there's a great argument that he's the MVP of this team right now. And when you see the benefits that Anthony Edwards is getting by playing in these high leverage games and having these experiences, it looks like a team on solid footing that is going to be in the playoffs and in contention for the next several years, which means any pick that you do give up ideally is in the 20s and much less likely to sting than if it's a top 10 pick. And so, and then you look around the league, you know, Malik Beasley's playing for Milwaukee. That's good. Jared Vanderbilt has been hurt and he has not made much of an impact with the Lakers this year at all. Walker Kessler has taken a step back. Pat Bev is a role player at best for Milwaukee. A lot of the guys that they gave up in the trade have just been fine and nothing to worry about. And so meanwhile, you have the defensive player of the year, a guy who has really spearheaded this renaissance for this team, and is reducing the sting of any of a first round pick. I mean, those are all really good things for the Timberwolves and for this deal. And it's to the point, Jim, where part of Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez's rebuttal last week publicly was that, you know, kind of trying to take even more credit for the Rudy Gobert trade. And so now you have people arguing about who deserves the credit for Rudy Gobert trade when maybe last year everyone would have been pointing fingers and no, it was this guy, it was that guy. And so it just kind of shows you the evolution of that deal right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll get more into the ownership thing, some behind the scenes rumors I want to vet with John. For today, let's get to the Lamb Chops clothing, Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops clothing line Twitter question of the day.
Yeah, let me just grab it up here. So this one from Wiley E. Coyote. Is the NBA Board of Governors still going to consider the paperwork from Alex and Mark early April, allowing them to meet the terms of the contract, or are they going to table it due to the conflict, which will mean they will miss the extension date and Glenn wins? So the question is kind of worded a little bit incorrectly, but let me just give an update of where that stands right now. From the league's perspective, right now, as it stands, they view this conflict as a conflict between the buyer and the seller, and the league is not getting directly involved while Glenn Taylor and Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie work through their dispute. And so that means that if there was going to be a plan for the league to review all of the terms and vet the owners at the Board of Governors meeting in mid-April, that is no longer the plan. And if you kind of see the writing on the wall, that might have been a little bit too quick. Regardless, too, if the deal had it was still going on, there could have been a situation where the league said, "Hey, we need a little more time to vet these limited partners, to vet Mark and Alex, and we're going to have to vote maybe in May or something like that." That's all possible, but all of that has been tabled for right now while Glenn Taylor and Mark and Alex look at means to resolve the dispute, which is likely headed toward arbitration, which likely means it's going to take months to work out and to adjudicate. And so there will be no vote. It also, though, does not mean that Glenn Taylor has definitely won this. This is still very much in dispute. It's possible that a third party arbitrator will look at the situation and say, you know what, Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez are in the right here. They deserve to kind of keep this thing going and go to league approval and see if the league does approve it. But just because there is no vote in April does not mean that Glenn Taylor wins, but there also will not be a vote in April while this thing goes through the mediation arbitration legal process that is going to take plenty of time to kind of finish. So appreciate you, Wile E. Coyote, for the question. I will send you a link in your DMs with Lamb Chops to get you a free pair of shorts. And remember, JohnK20, JONK20 for 20% off at sglambchops.com.
Good stuff, John. One clarification, just to put it in really black and white. Next step, you think, is league-supervised arbitration? Is that the right way to put
league,
it?
So not league-supervised. Okay. So it's the contract calls for any dispute of this kind of nature to go to arbitration. Mediation first and then arbitration. And those are not people involved with the league. It's a neutral third party. So it's not going to court yet, but it is not also a league supervised process. It's going to be a neutral third party process.
Got it. Okay, good clarification. Thank you for clearing that up. All right, check out John on the Viking Update Show as well. We appreciate everybody listening. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. We'll talk to you next week.